Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Road to Revolution podcast, My Journey with Linkin Park. This week's episode, we're going to be talking about the Linkin Park show at the MTVU Fandom Awards out at San Diego Comic-Con. This was in July of 2014. This one was really cool because it was a kind of a head-on collision of two things I loved. I've been going to San Diego Comic-Con pretty regularly. That's a word I can't say very easily. But I've been going pretty consistently since 2008, which was my first year. And this was one of the years I ended up planning on going again. And a couple of weeks before the event and before that, you know, we were getting ready to fly out there, there were rumors going around that Linkin Park were going to play a show there. And I was like, there's just no way. Like, I'm never going to be that lucky that I get to go to one of my favorite events in the world. And then on top of that, get to see my favorite band in the world. But lo and behold, it was 100% true. They were playing and not only that, it was a free show. So as long as you had a San Diego Comic-Con badge, but it may have just been if you had the MTVU pass they were giving out at the venue. I can't remember that honestly. But it was a free show pretty much. Like, you didn't have to pay at all, which was awesome. There was one other band on the show. It was a guy named G-Eazy, who is a rapper. A lot of you may know him as Halsey's ex-boyfriend, or you may not know him at all, which is also fair. He was pretty good at this show. I didn't really know who he was at the time, but you know, he was pretty good. Decent for a free opener, I guess. This whole thing was a really cool experience because, you know, if you've ever been to San Diego Comic-Con, you know how exciting that whole week is. Whether, you know, you just go out there for that or if you do other things in the state, obviously California is in no shortage of things to do, whether it's in the immediate San Diego area or if you drive a little north and go to, you know, LA, there's a million things you can do in that area, which is what we did. We flew out just a couple of days before Comic-Con was going to start, and we went to Universal and we did Disneyland. But even before that, this was like one of the best, most on-brand Billy weeks of my entire life. Because the night before I flew out there, my friend Chris and I went to a WWE pay-per-view in Tampa. This was a Battleground 2014. So it's kind of cool. You know, I get to kick off the week with that. And then you go right into Disneyland and Universal the first 2 days of that week on Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday morning, the group of us drove down from Anaheim to San Diego for the rest of the trip. So, and there was a good mix of us. It was all my friends from New York, most of which who I'd been to San Diego Comic-Con with before. So it was nice to kind of have those guys back. I'd been living in Florida for a couple of years, and I think this was one of the first actual vacations where we all went somewhere together. You know, with them in New York and me down in Florida, it was nice of all of us to kind of converge into California together. You know, previously they'd come down to visit me or I would go up there to New York to see them. So it was nice for us to say, hey, let's go out here and do this. My best friend Stolas and our friend Alex, we had gone to San Diego Comic-Con for the first time all together in 2008. So the three of us were there on this trip. And then our friend Mike, who we lovingly refer to as Mike from Queens, which is how we met him. We met him playing Halo on Xbox Live with our friend Otis, and his gamer tag was Mike from Queens. And we've known him for 10 years plus now, and he is still Mike from Queens. So there's that. But it was the group of us out there. And the cool thing about San Diego Comic-Con, especially if you go with a group, especially one, is we're very similar, but we're very diverse in the nerdy things we like. You know, it spans different animes, comics, video games, movies, TV, everything. It kind of branches out into a million different directions. So on this trip, you know, we did a lot together, but there's a ton that we did separately. Case in point, none of the guys went to the Linkin Park show with me. Now, granted, me going to the Linkin Park show meant I had to cut out a good half of my day at San Diego Comic-Con because, you know, if you've learned anything from me being on this podcast about Linkin Park, I need to be in the front row if I can. If I can help it, that's just absolutely what I need. So I ducked out of the convention a little bit early that day, walked over to Petco Park, which was cool. This is my first baseball stadium seeing the band, and I've seen them in football stadiums, you know, arenas where NHL teams and NBA teams have played. But this is my first baseball stadium, MLB stadium too. This is where the San Diego Padres play. Now, they said the show was going to be in Petco Park, so I was very excited. Slight tiny bit of a letdown slash communication. It wasn't necessarily in Petco Park. There's a small park right behind Petco Park. I think it's called like Park at the Park or something like that. They had this whole MTVU Fandom Awards festival set up, which was going to have a TV special and a concert and all these things. And there were games, I think, and like, you know, stands and booths and all these things you can do. But all in all, it wasn't super well set up. The line to get into this whole thing was an ordeal and a half. I feel like it ran all the way around the conventions, the stadium, which at that point was near the convention center. You know, I started thinking, man, am I not going to get into this show? Because I will lose my absolute shit if I don't get into this show. Like seeing my favorite band in arguably one of my favorite places in the world next to, you know, like Disney. This is like, I don't know, man, this is tough. I don't know if I can handle that. But lo and behold, did get into the show, thank God. And shockingly enough, we were so far back in the line. I was like, man, I'm definitely not going to be in the front row. So whatever, wherever I am, I'm in. That's fine. That's all I want. I'm in the bamboozle headspace now. As long as I'm here and I'm seeing them, cool. Everything else is gravy. And then somehow, I guess with everyone being there more so as Comic-Con fans and less being Linkin Park fans, people weren't super concerned with the front row for this. So like I get in there and, you know, I kind of walk right up to the front row on the left side, not far from where I would usually stand on some shows. So it was easy to get front row for this. I was like, all right, well, the streak continues. And the show itself was cool. You know, like I said, it was a filmed thing for MTV. They had a bunch of people from the popular TV shows and the MTV shows at the time. So like, I remember there being people from Teen Wolf and God, whatever else was an MTV show at the time. I don't even know. But you know, Jeezy played and he played a couple of songs and he was good. Like I said earlier, but the interesting thing about Linkin Park, this is the first time I'd seen them since the, Civic Tour in 2012 with Incubus. And this was interesting because it was definitely the most, I want to say it was the shortest set I've ever seen them play. Even when I saw them open for POD back in 2000, I want to say they played 9 or 10 songs on that show. You know, it's the benefit of that first album being so short. If you give them a 30-minute opening set, they can still play most of it. The album's only 38 minutes. So they can still play most of that album. This one, I guess, because it's a free show and it's part of a bigger show, like it's not specifically a Linkin Park show. They were only able to play 8 songs. And plus they played, obviously, it's a good mix of stuff. They played, well, since it's only 8 songs, I can go through it pretty easily. They did Given Up, Points of Authority, and they did like a mashup of The Catalyst and The Requiem and the One Step Closer remix from Reanimation. Then Guilty All the Same, which would have been the first time for me hearing this song live. Cause this was the first time I'd seen them on the Hunting Party cycle. Wastelands, also a first time hearing it, Until It's Gone as well. So you get 3 songs in a row from the Hunting Party. And then we go into the old faithful closers there of Faint and One Step Closer. Interesting on this show, you figure if it's a big MTVU fandom party awards show at Comic-Con, you want a big party vibe, but they don't play Bleed It Out, arguably their biggest party song they play live. So interesting they didn't do that, but if you've learned from me in these episodes, you'll know I'm not necessarily mad at that because it's a good song. Don't need to hear it every show. Think it's a little overhyped. That's just me. But it was just really cool, just, you know, to see my favorite band in one of my favorite places in the world is just, you know, you don't get that lucky all the time. I think the only thing that can top this for seeing them in a place that would have meaning to me would be like seeing them in a theme park like Disney World or Universal. What's interesting is I want to say it was either this year or the year before. there were rumors that Linkin Park was going to play a free concert at Universal Studios Orlando to promote the Transformers ride. So I guess it would have been the year before in 2013, which is when that ride opened. But that never came true, which is fine. You know, if you're listening to the show, you know, I've seen them a million times. So it's, you know, what's one show that never happened. Interesting, cool little postscript to this concert. You know, like in addition to being a great concert at my favorite place and a free one, at that, I'm leaving. And granted, this is an outdoor concert with a couple thousand people, maybe, you know, in the middle of July in San Diego, which typically the weather there is very nice, even in July. But put that many people together at a rock show and it's going to get hot and sweaty. And it did. So I'm ready to just get out of there after the show's over, head back to the hotel and take a shower, change into something more comfortable, preferably not sweaty clothes I've been wearing all day. And as I'm about to walk out to either catch a cab to the hotel or take one of the Comic-Con shuttles from the convention center, somebody's like, hey, free movie screening right now inside the Nerd HQ setup in the Petco Park. Now, Nerd HQ was this side convention / festival that Zachary Levi had set up a couple of years prior. And it's like a side programming that goes in conjunction with Comic-Con. So the extra panels, screenings, talkbacks, meet and greets, all sorts of things. Comic-Con evolved into this giant, giant thing over the years, to the point where side conventions and side things were starting to pop up. You know, I last went in 2018, and FX has their own side thing set up on the backside of the convention center. You know, AMC has things set up around for different shows. Hulu had a thing set up for Castle Rock. Like, there's all these extra things set up around the city in the immediate area. So it's become this giant monster. I'm recording this now. It's actually the day before I'm going to release it. So it is Sunday, the 28th of June. I had tickets for this year's Comic-Con. I was going to go, keeping my somewhat streak alive of going almost every even year since I started going, because I've gone in 2008, 10, 11, 14, 16, 18. So almost perfect on the even years. The 10, 11 messed it up. If I went 12 instead of 11, would have kept that alive. But yeah, I was going to go this year. I had my badge. I was all ready to go. And then, you know, we're living in the coronavirus world right now still, which is insane, because the last six or so episodes I recorded in a batch weeks ago in early May, almost two months ago now. And, you know, I thought, no, who knows what things are going to be like when, you know, a month and a half, 2 months down the road, maybe everything will be normal again. It's not. You know, we're still working from home. We're still, you know, social distancing. We're still wearing masks. Well, if you're smart and you're doing the right thing, you're wearing masks. But that's not what this podcast is going to be about, because I don't want to rant for an hour about that, because I could. But see, it's weird to do that, you know, still be doing that now, you know, naive me almost 2 months ago thinking, oh, who knows what it'll be like? Well, you know, you did know, because it's the same, just a little bit worse. But yes, I say that because I was going to go to San Diego Comic-Con this year, which was sadly, canceled or postponed, but you know, it was canceled because, you know, there was going to be one next year anyway. So 2020's is canceled. The nice thing is they are honoring anyone who had a badge for 2020. They're honoring that for 2021. So I'm going to go next year. Looking forward to that. And hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully that when you get to next summer, hopefully things are normal again. I hope that doesn't come back to bite me when I'm recording an episode next summer about God knows what concert. But yeah, so that was a huge sidetrack. Leaving the show, get handed a movie ticket at Nerd HQ, and they're like, hey, we're doing a screening of a movie called Mall. It's directed by the DJ from Linkin Park. I was like, oh, I've heard of Mall. I didn't know that you guys were showing it. That's awesome. And it was free. Now, normally Nerd HQ side panels and events, we had to pay like 15, 20 bucks. And they all went to a charity. They're all done for a cause, which were really nice. But this one was free. I don't know if it didn't sell well and it was free, or if they were, trying to get fans of the band in to go for free to get that viewpoint of the movie. But it still wasn't super full. And it was late too, you know, and the one thing about Comic-Con is you wake up early to get in line for panels or exclusives or merchandise or meet and greets. And you're there the whole day and you're walking. God, you do miles and miles and miles. You know, the two places, you know, you go on vacation, which for me are some of my favorite vacations, aren't vacations really at all. And you go to theme parks like Disney or Universal, or you go to San Diego Comic-Con. You're walking so much that when you're done, you know, it's a cliche, but you need a vacation when you get home from your vacation because you're so spent. But on the same thing of being spent, when you're at San Diego Comic-Con or Disneyland, you come home and you immediately have to start working again because you have spent so much money on that trip and during that trip. But it was nice to see this movie. Movie was good. I haven't seen it since then, but I do remember enjoying it quite a bit. The music was very good. If I remember correctly, the score is done by most of the band, or a mixture of different members from the band. But the music from this was great. I do remember that being a really great element of the movie. And then afterwards, they did a Q&A with Joe and a couple of people from the cast. The only one I remember offhand was... I do not remember his name, unfortunately, but, he was on the show. I can't remember. Wow. This is terrible. This is terrible podcasting right here, folks. If you want to hear what not to do during a podcast, it is this: do your research. I did research, but it was very, a lot of my little peeling back the curtain here. A lot of my notes are just kind of shorthand notes, that I make because I feel like typically if I have a short line that says, you know, this line in my notes about this just says free tickets to screening of Mall After, comma, Q&A with Joe. Typically, some people would maybe flesh that out a little bit so I have more details so I'm not struggling to remember. But I was stalling. I knew what it was. See, I just want to see if you knew what it was because I remember who it is. Cameron Monaghan. From the show Shameless. See, I remember people's names, TV shows names. See, I just needed to buy some time there. Cameron Monaghan, who's the lead in the movie, he was there for the Q&A as well. So it was really cool. It was a cool experience. The thing I laughed about when I left was I got out of the screening, and at this point, I didn't even want to bother with the buses, and buses may have been done because it was late. It was like the concert got out about 11-ish. 10-ish, I think. And then the screening started a bit after that. So between the screening and the Q&A, I want to say I got back to the hotel around 1:30, 2 a.m. And at this point, I hadn't seen my friends all day. Hadn't even probably talked to them a few hours because of the concert and then the movie. So I get back to the hotel room and you know, some of the guys wake up when I get back in. And it was like, oh, I thought you got kidnapped. I'm like, well, I appreciate the concern, but all's well. I'm fine. I actually had a great night. Saw my favorite band. Went to a movie. It was a very Billy evening. But yeah, that, you know, that whole trip was just such a blast. And it had a mix of everything. Like there were wrestling panels. I met Matt Smith from Doctor Who. You know, we did tons of panels and you know, just the environment there at Comic-Con is just such an amazing time that growing up going to Disney World so much, it had that very magical feeling. And I hate that to sound like a cliche, but it, you know, it does. And I feel like because you don't live there and you don't go there a lot, most people don't. So when you go there, you're like, oh my God, this is such a cool place. Like everything's special and unique, and you know, you're just so happy to be there. And eventually I had gone to Disney so much throughout my life that I don't want to say it wore off, but it felt different as I got older. And maybe that's just part of getting older too, as Disney feels different to you as an adult than it does when you're younger. But now that I've worked there, and I've been down in Florida for coming up on we're at 8.5 years now. So we're coming up on 9 years in a couple months. So Disney World, and Universal down here feel like, you know, home now because I've worked at both of them and I've been to both of them so much. Like during the Halloween months, if you don't know where I am, just throw a rock somewhere in Universal Studios during Halloween Horror Nights, you'll find me because that's where I live during those months. But because of that, the places now that I feel like have that magic to me, Disneyland and Universal and Hollywood definitely do, because I don't go to them as much. Those are still not foreign to me, but I've never worked at either of those. So I get, you know, I get that sense of wonder because the curtain's never been peeled back for me and I haven't been there as much. So I'm like, oh, I go there and I'm still incredibly excited to be there and I'm still overjoyed at everything that's going on. And I feel the same exact way about San Diego Comic-Con and also about Linkin Park shows. Now, obviously, sadly, I still can't go to Linkin Park shows because there haven't been any Linkin Park shows in a couple of years. But, you know, I do get to go to Disneyland periodically and I have a great time there. And that's why I like my semi-annual pilgrimages, another word, man, some words I can't handle today. But I like my semi-annual trips to San Diego Comic-Con because it's such a limited time event when it happens. And when you get there on day one, you're like, man, I have 4 or 5 days of magic ahead of me. And then suddenly it is the end of the Sunday and you're like, man, it's done. The whole thing's over. And you are whatever amount of money poorer and you are that much more tired. But man, I wouldn't trade those San Diego Comic-Con vacations for anything, especially this one. This one always holds a special place in my heart because I got to go there with my best buds from New York, which, like I said, because I live in Florida now and we're all grown up and in our 30s too, it's harder to get those vacations organized and get them on track to actually happen past the, oh, we should do this phase. So the fact that this trip had, you know, started with a wrestling show with my best buddy down in Florida, Chris. And then I went out to Disneyland with my best friends from New York, Disneyland and Universal, and then San Diego Comic-Con. And I saw a Linkin Park show. Like, that's one of the best weeks I can imagine. So I hope that one day the world gets to a place again, safety and health-wise, where I can get back to going to concerts and I can get back to going to places like San Diego Comic-Con or the Disneyland theme parks or the Universal theme parks or anything like that. And, you know, I hope one day, and obviously it'll be different, but I hope one day we can get back to Linkin Park shows. But I'm not going to dive into that last bit yet because we're not done with Linkin Park shows. This is only number 29. I still got 5 more after this. So, and that's just Linkin Park. Like I've talked about before, we still got Shinoda shows, the Chester Side Project shows. We still got some stuff to talk about. And then as I've hinted to in the past, we are going to do shows about all my shows because this year, well, I can't even say this year anymore. Every concert I've had tickets for this year has been canceled, which is no surprise because of the Corona stuff. But yeah, who knows when the 300th one might actually take place. I was on track to hit it and surpass it this year. And now I have 0 concerts this year. The only 2 I have left that haven't fully canceled were Hayley Williams, which was supposed to happen a few weeks ago. She postponed to a TBD date some point this year. And the other one that hasn't canceled yet was Killswitch Engage and August Burns Red and Light the Torch. They were supposed to be in March, just after when everything started closing. And last they said was they were looking at November and December to reschedule. I would love for things to be great by November, December this year, but who knows at this point. But I think my best looking bet is I'm at 296 right now, concert wise. Last one was Bill Murray, not the actor, the band fronted by Johnny Frank, formerly of Attack Attack. He was 296 back in March, just before everything closed. So if these 2 that I have that are still postponed happen this year, I will barely get to 298. So who knows? We'll see. Everything else I have has either been straight up canceled or postponed to next year. But we'll get to those when we get to those. But I think that's enough of me rambling and babbling for today. Next week, we're going to be talking about 2 shows. These two have to go hand in hand together. One was the tour rehearsal, which was a show in itself because they brought in fans and, you know, it was a small crowd, like 20 or so of us. But they brought in a small group of fans to watch them rehearse for the Carnivores tour out in West Palm Beach. And then we're going to talk about the actual Carnivores tour show in Tampa a few days later. So that's going to be next week's show. But until then, I thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate everyone who's been tuning in every week. I don't think I know as many people that have been listening. I look at the numbers and they're not high by any definition, but I don't think I know that many people. And I don't think I know that many people that would listen to me ramble about this stuff. So to all the people I don't know listening to this, thank you so much. You're making a bored working from home guy pretty happy every Monday when he puts out a new episode. So I thank you guys so much for listening and putting up with my sometimes incoherent ramblings. But that's going to wrap it up for today. Again, thank you so much for listening. My name is Billy, and this has been My Road to Revolution.